you have your Bibles, we'd like to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. In a way of introduction, real quick, two quick remarks. Me and Brother Stephen were talking the other day, maybe yesterday, talking about different mindsets that we may be in whenever we stand before God's people to try to preach. And we were talking about one mindset. Sometimes it's like you have all these puzzle pieces in your head. It's like thousands of them. And you know that they're going to make a pretty picture if you can just get them right. They just won't come together. And you just pray that the Lord will help you get in there. And then you got other times where you feel like the disciples, whenever the Lord fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes, you feel like maybe you just got a crumb and you just beg the Lord to bless the increase. Well, that's where we're at this morning. So please pray that the Lord bless us. I do, second remark of introduction, please pray that the preaching of the Bible, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel this morning will be real to us, that it just won't be preacher talk, it just won't be church talk, it'll be real life, God's people talk.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles with you, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, by faith, here's one of those crumbs real quick. As I was meditating on the subject this morning, like where exactly do I start? Well, by faith, it says in the 31st verse, by faith, the harlot Rahab. The Bible teaches us that faith is the fruit of the Spirit. So in order for somebody to have faith, they must first have the Spirit. So this is telling us that Rahab the harlot was born of the Spirit before she did what she did. I'm going to tell you, if we ever do a good work towards God, it is evidence that we already had faith, and that is evidence that we already had the Spirit. You cannot do a good work towards God without being born of the Spirit. So whenever in the 31st verse, whenever it's talking about Rahab, it can say, by faith, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. You can say, by her being born again, the harlot Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You know, Rahab is one of the characters in the Bible that have fascinated me so much. I was at a meeting one time and me and Brother Adam Green was talking and there were some other people standing around a picnic table about 11 o'clock at night, and he posed a question. He said, if you ever had the opportunity to help name a new church that was constituted, what would the name be? And somebody says Mount Zion. Somebody says, you know, if we're here in Cochran Primitive Baptist Church. You know, everybody's throwing out different names. And it came to me, and they said, well, Brother Danny, what would you like to name the church? I said, Rahab. Rahab Primitive Baptist Church. And they all looked at me, and they said, what in the world? Why would you want to call it Rahab? I said, because Rahab is a beautiful picture of grace.
Amen.
And the reason Rahab is a beautiful picture of grace, let me ask you this morning. Whenever you're thinking about names to name your little girl, after you've had your ultrasound and you see you're going to have a little girl, are you thinking about names like Delilah, Jezebel, Rahab? Are you thinking about Lily, Hannah, you know, biblical names, right? Well, just because they're biblical don't mean they're good characters. But most of us are not going to name our daughters Rahab unless you're jaded like me. But because of the connotation of what Rahab is. Whenever you think about Rahab, the first time we ever read the name Rahab, it says she's a harlot. You find her in a very bad situation. Her occupation, the way she makes money to take care of her family, causes her to sin against God. You understand that? The very first time you see this sister, you see her sinning, and you see her sinning continuously, and the very label that is put on her says she's a sinner. I'm going to tell you what every one of us, whether no matter how good we think we are, no matter what last name we had, Bryant, Lord, Wisner, it don't matter. I'm going to tell you, we all by nature are children of wrath. That's what the Bible says. You understand that? I'm going to tell you, sometimes the old Baptists get off into that law hood and think our last names mean something, and all it means is we had a daddy. That's all it means. I mean, that's it. We're not under the law, brothers and sisters. We're all sinners. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches us, go with me over to Psalm 14. The Bible teaches us about what we are by our very nature. By the way, let me kind of put this in a little more perspective. Maybe I'm a little jaded about this because of where I come from. My mama was raised Old Baptist. She strayed away from the church, married my daddy while she was strayed away. And my daddy, his mama and daddy, they owned or they ran a place where harlots performed their duties. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to be nice here, not trying to be graphic. But they owned the place where Rahab would work. And my sister, you know, people get fascinated where they come from. My sister wanted to write a book or get some research about my grandpa and grandma whenever they did such a thing. And she went to one of the people who used to work there in the occupation of Rahab. And she said, "Can I write a book based upon some of the testimony that you give me?" And the woman said, "Yes, but you can't reveal my name." And the reason she didn't want her name revealed, she didn't want her children and her grandchildren to know what she used to do and what she used to be. I'm going to tell you, there is some shame whenever you think about what Rahab used to do. So I want you to understand, the reason Rahab fascinates me is because her very name, the Bible says, Rahab the harlot. The first time we see her as a horrible sinner. But I'm going to tell you, whenever we see her in the book of Hebrews, in the 31st verse, she's being listed as somebody who has faith. And I'm going to tell you, think about if the time had passed for about 4,000 years that the world had existed from Genesis 1 to the time that Apostle Paul was writing the book of Hebrews, and he mentioned 18 people in the book of Hebrews who had faith. He mentioned 18 people that he was giving reverence to, the way that they lived their life, as you and I should mimic our life after them. By faith they did this. By faith they did this. By faith they did this. And he's saying, you need to act like these people who have faith. And he mentioned 18 people, and one of those people was Rahab. Does it not fascinate you? Does it not fascinate you that this harlot is one of the people who Apostle Paul says we need to be like her? I'm going to tell you the reason I love Rahab. And I kind of get ahead of myself when I preach sometimes. Number one ends up being number six. But the reason I'm fascinated about Rahab is because, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it comes to our salvation, I'm going to tell you, it's not about where you came from, it's about where you're going.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you see Rahab on the scene, and you see her as a harlot, as a prostitute, as a whore, if you will. But I'm going to tell you, after that, in Joshua chapter 6, you see her with God's people. And then in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you see her as one of 18 people as the world has spanned for 4,000 years, one of the 18 people who is mentioned as having great faith for 4,000 years, she's mentioned there. I'm going to tell you, because God worked a work on her. Because God had changed her. God put something within her that made her follow after God's people. I'm going to tell you, in our nature, we all begin in the same place. We all begin as little Rahabs. Look what it says here in the 14th division of Psalms. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven. I'm going to tell you, this is the view of God without God sending His Spirit into His people, without God sending His Son to His people. This is the view that God sees of the entire world if the Lord would not have intervened. Look what it says here. The Lord looked down from heaven. This is me and you before we were born again. This is me and you before the intervention of God Jehovah. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord looks at us by our nature, there is not one of us that doeth good. We are all little Rahabs. Whenever we first come on the scene, I'm going to tell you, we're all little Rahabs. There's none that doeth good. And I'm going to tell you, we forget that sometimes because not all of us have the same circumstances in life. Some of us were born again in our mother's womb as John the Baptist, and we've always loved the Lord. Some of us were born again when we were 5 years old. Some of us 13, some of us 14, some of us 21, some of us 99, like the thief on the cross right before he took his last breath. And also, we all don't come up in the same circumstances of life. Some of us are raised up in the household of faith. Some of us are raised up by godly people. Some of us are raised up by very ungodly people. We all don't have the same lot in life. So sometimes we forget that we all have the same beginning when it comes by nature. We all deserve hell. We're all little Rahabs. The Bible says by nature we are the children of wrath, even as others. Every one of us deserves the wrath of God by our nature. But I'm going to tell you, if you're here to seek the Lord this morning, if you actually want to see Jesus, if there's something going deep in your heart that makes you want to be better, brothers and sisters, the Lord has intervened within you. He has born you again, and you're going to be in heaven one day.
Amen.
And you are really manifested as a little Rahab because you started off being bad. But I'm going to tell you what, you're with God's people now.
Amen.
And not only did Rahab, brothers and sisters, not only when you first see her on the scene, do you see her being called a harlot? But later on, you see her as being one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about that the first time you see her. The first time you see her as a sinner. And then you later on, you see her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Is that not me or you? That the first time we're really able to see ourselves in comparison to God, we see ourselves as being horrible sinners that deserve hell. And then later on, whenever we believe the gospel, we're able to see that we're in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That we're His children. Go with me back over to Hebrews 11 real quick. You know, I think about this sometimes. You know how funny it had to be to God? Now, the Bible says God laughs.
Yeah.
But, you ever thought about, I mean, how much it makes Him mourn, how much it displeases Him when people that He died for run down each other or persecute each other or attack each other? But you ever thought about how funny it has to appear to God? Because the Bible says that by our nature we're worms.
Right.
You ever thought about how funny it had to appear to God to see one little worm talking about another little worm? You know, like the little maggot worm is talking about the caterpillar worm. You know, I mean, think about that. Whenever we compare ourselves to each other,
yeah,
and we start running each other down, it's just one little maggot worm saying he's better than the other little maggot worm.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, by nature, none of us are good. And I'm going to tell you, whenever we start doing that, that's just one little Rahab running down the other little Rahab.
Right.
I mean, think about that. What I'm trying to say is, that's like one harlot saying they're better than the other harlot. They're both harlots! One worm saying they're better than the other worm. They're both worms!
Right.
Brothers and sisters, we're by nature the children of wrath. But thanks be to God, God has changed us.
Yeah.
Go with me over to Hebrews 11:31. I hope this fascinates you, because it fascinates the dickens out of me. It really does. That one of the 18 people that Paul mentions as being a person of great faith, that these children of God, that these Jews need to mimic their lives after, was a Gentile harlot. That's fascinating to me. And look what it says. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Look, I want you to understand what Rahab did. You see, Rahab is not just fascinating because she was a harlot. Rahab is fascinating because of what she did and where she ended up. But the way she was able to do what she did is because God had born her of His Spirit. I want you to understand what she did. Brothers and sisters, 40 years after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, Rahab was still believing in the God that brought the Israelites across the Red Sea. The same Jews that actually walked across the Red Sea, months after they walked across the Red Sea, they didn't believe in the God who brought them across the Red Sea. You understand what I'm saying? They actually seen it. They walked on dry land whenever they crossed the Red Sea. And months later, when God said, go possess the land of Canaan, they said, we can't do it, because they doubted the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, Rahab didn't walk across the Red Sea. She didn't even see the Red Sea. She didn't even see the Egyptians. All she did was heard what God did. And when she heard what God did, it was mixed with faith, and she believed. And because of what she believed, she departed everything. She departed from everything that she knew. She left every person that she ever knew besides her family, and she chose God's people over the people of this world. And I want to tell you, whenever you realize you're a little Rahab, whenever you realize you've been born of the Spirit, whenever you realize Jericho ain't the place you need to be like Rahab, and you need to leave.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when the Lord touched me, whenever He showed me what I was, and I started seeking Him, I don't have a friend that I had back then. I departed from every one of them. You know why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. I'm going to tell you, if you ain't a drunk, you don't want to be around drunks. And if you ain't a drunk, drunks don't want you to be around them. They want you to be like them. So many times I've seen people say, Brother Danny, I'm quitting to do drugs. I'm going to start doing the right thing. And I'd be like, well, you need to leave those people you're around, because they're going to pull you back down.
Right.
Oh, Brother Danny, I don't want to be a sellout. You know, I'm going to help them. I'm going to pull them up. I'm going to help change them, Brother Stephen. Guess what? 2 weeks later, guess where they're back at? Back where they used to be. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever you realize you're a little Rahab, you get the heck out of Jericho. You get out of Jericho. Don't be where you used to be. If you want to change your life, if you want to be a better person, don't stay where you are. Go to a different spot. And I'm going to tell you, she was born of the Spirit. She believed in God. She believed that these were God's people, and she attached herself to those people. I want you need to understand, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this, be not deceived. You know what that means? There's going to be people who's going to try to deceive you. There's going to be people who's going to tell you, you can hang out with certain folks and it's not going to affect you. Your flesh is going to tell you, I'm too good of a Christian. I'm too strong in the Word of God for this to affect me. I'm going to tell you, if you actually believe that you're too good of a person to get affected negatively by sin, you have already deceived yourself. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I'm going to tell you, try it out. If you used to cuss, go around some folks who still cuss. See what happens in a day or two. You used to like dirty jokes? Turn on a comedian. See what happens in a day or two. I'm going to tell you, you used to smoke and dip? Go around folks who smoke and dip. I ain't saying smoking and dip is a sin. I'm just telling you, it's an addiction. And it's something that people try not to do because they don't want to get cancer. They don't want to get sores on their mouth and whatnot. But I'm telling you, you used to smoke and dip. You're trying not to smoke and dip. You go around people who smoke and dip, guess what's going to happen a lot of times? You're going to start smoking and dipping again. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Whenever you realize that you're little Rahab, get out of Jericho. Leave. Go me over to Judges chapter 11 real quick. Okay, there are just certain characters in the Bible that I'm just drawn to. Judges chapter 11. We're going to find out about a guy named Jephthah. Jephthah judged Israel. He ruled Israel for 6 years. Jephthah was a great deliverer. God sent Jephthah to deliver the children of Israel, to deliver his people from the Ammonites. God sent him to deliver his people from the Ammonites. But look what it says about Jephthah. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And the reason I bring this out, there's a lot of folks who use where they came from as an excuse to not do better. Y'all ever seen that? Well, my daddy's an alcoholic, so I'm going to be an alcoholic. All my family are drug addicts, I'm going to be a drug addict. You know, you don't know where I came from. I'm going to tell you, Jephthah, his mama was a harlot, but that didn't keep him from being a great man of valor. That didn't keep him from being a great tool to God's people. I'm going to tell you, I don't care where you came from. I'm going to tell you, this sermon's about grace this morning. We all are harlots. We all are ungodly. We all have forsaken the Lord. We all, by nature, are the children of wrath. I don't care where you came from. We all came from the same place. I care about where you're trying to go to.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it don't matter where you're trying to go to, whether you're going to get to heaven or not. But I'm going to tell you what, it matters about who you bring with you. Not to heaven, but here in this kingdom.
Thank you,
I'm going to tell you, Rahab, she had faith. She was born of the Spirit. Whether she went with God's people or not, she was still going to be in heaven one day. But because of what she did, she saved her entire household from being demolished. I'm going to tell you that one action of the head of your household can have a lot of effect on your household. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever we come into the house of God, I want to say we have a responsibility to listen to the man of God, to want to be better. I pray that whenever we come into the house of God, that we're praying that God will stir up our hearts to make us want to be better. I want us to be convicted. I want you to feel like you haven't read enough of God's Word this week. I want you to feel like that you haven't prayed enough. Because whenever you go to this place, I want you to say, I'm going to get better this week.
Amen.
I want to tell you, if you're head of the household and you start teaching your children the Word of God, guess what? They're going to learn the Word of God. Let me tell you, they're going to learn about the world. They're going to learn about the world. But we need to be teaching them the Word of God. Over in the law, it says this. It says that whenever your children wake up to the time that they go to sleep, you need to be teaching them about the Word of God. Let me tell you, Rahab the harlot saved her household because she was obedient to what she heard about God. I want to tell you, we can save our households from some things if we're obedient to what we've heard about God. And over here in the 11th chapter of Judges, we find that Jephthah, his mother was a harlot, but that did not keep him from being useful in the kingdom of God. Quit using excuses. I'm going to tell you, I'm tired of people using excuses about what happened to them in the past to keep us from going forward. You know what Paul says? Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark. Last place we'll go. Let's go over to Luke chapter 7. Over in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him, that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now we understand that we're all sinners, right?
Amen.
But whenever Luke writes that this woman, which was a sinner, he's talking about everybody knew her manner of life. This woman was probably a prostitute or a harlot or something along those lines. Or if she wasn't that, she lived a life that everybody was able to look at her and tell that there was a lot to be wanted in the way that she walked and lived her life. And it says that, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter what she used to be. This dear sister, she was at the feet of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get hung up on where people used to be. I'm going to tell you, for us to really live in the kingdom at peace with one another, we're going to have to forget where folks used to be, what folks used to do, and we're going to have to look at where we're at. Amen? And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. She's here, washing the Lord's feet with her hair, with her tears, and she's kissing his feet, and anointing them with ointment. It says, now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. I'm going to tell you, you know, this Pharisee said within his heart, the very opposite of what I said when I first came to the church of God. This Pharisee said, if this man really was a prophet, he would not allow this woman to touch him because he would know that she's a sinner. And I say that this is the opposite of what I said whenever I first came to the house of God, and I was a little Rahab, and I was able to see that I needed to depart from Jericho. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't even want to touch God's people's hands. Because I was afraid if they even touched my hand, if they gave me a hug, they'd be able to see what a horrible sinner I was. See, he's worried about what she is, and I'm going to tell you, he should be worried about what he is. I'm going to tell you, I didn't even want to shake God's people. I didn't want to eat with them because I was afraid they'd be able to look in my eyes and see what a horrible person I was. When I first started coming to the house of God, I didn't even stay for lunch because I was like, they don't want to eat with a sinner like me. But I had to be in the house of God because I had to be at the Lord's feet. And I'm thankful that whenever I came into the house of God, nobody was pointing at where I used to be. Nobody was like this Simon the Pharisee who was like, I don't know what she's up to now, but I know what she used to do. And if the Lord knew what she was, I mean, if the Lord really was a prophet, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad nobody looked at me like that whenever I came into the house of God and I tried to touch the feet of Jesus. And I'm glad that nobody looked at me and said, you know what? This man's a sinner and he shouldn't even be in here. Because they'd have been looking at where I was, not where I was trying to be. I was trying to be at the feet of Jesus. And look what it says. And Jesus answering, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He says, there was a certain creditor, which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of my head. Of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou dost not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. What he's saying here is, Simon, you think you're a good guy. And because you think you're so good, you ain't done much for me. But this woman, she realizes what she is. And because she realizes she's nothing, she realizes what a sinner she is, she hasn't left my feet since she's been in here. She has washed my feet with the tears that fell from her eyes. She took a precious ointment and she's anointed my feet with that precious expensive ointment. And she's taken her very hair and she's dipped it in her tears and she's washed my very feet with her hair. I'm going to tell you, that takes some effort and that takes some humility and that takes some love, doesn't it?
Amen.
I want us all as little children of God. I don't want us to be little Rahabs pointing each fingers at other Rahabs. I want us all coming in here feeling to be worms, feeling to be Rahabs, and just thankful to be able to be at the feet of our Almighty Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, because nobody here, when they were conceived into this world, was better than the other one. We are all, by nature, the children of wrath. And the Bible says, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you admit that you didn't receive it, and if you admit that you didn't earn it, but it was given to you, why do you act as if you earned it? I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we all need to continue to have the mindset that we're a little sinner at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about whenever people come into the house of God to worship with you, we need to just be happy that the Lord has touched their hearts and brought them into here.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in church discipline. And I believe we have to repent to enter into the church kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to encourage people and point them in the right direction. But if you know that somebody was living a horrible life and they're coming in the house of God to learn about the Lord and to worship and sing praises with you, you don't tell them to get out of here. You tell them you're thankful that God has brought them here. And you're praying for them that they'll try to get a little better and a little better like we are. That we'll all try to lead Jericho. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, I hope we all realize that we're just little Rahabs. Does that not fascinate you? Rahab the harlot. Apostle Paul could have mentioned so many characters in the Bible, but he mentioned Rahab the harlot. That's amazing to me. Because it's not about where you were. It's about where you're at. And where are you going? And I'm going to tell you, if you have left Jericho and you're in the house of God, it's because that's a very evidence that you're going to be in heaven one day. Because the reason you have left spiritual Jericho is because God, born you again with His Spirit, He has given you faith and you were able to trust in what you've heard about the Lord and you left Jericho. And that is a very evidence that one day you're going to be in heaven with the Lord. Do not stay in Jericho. Do not stay in Egypt. If you realize that the Lord has changed you, if you realize the Lord has worked a miracle in your heart, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, let's walk in Jerusalem. Let's walk in Canaan's land. Let's leave that old world behind. I love you and God bless.